This oral history is brought to you with the support of Guttman students and staff and funded by the American Council of Learned Societies and the Mellon Foundation. Enjoy.
My name is Topaz Bordoja, and I am interviewing Anthony Colex in our respective homes on May 17, 2022. Do you give me permission to report and make public this oral history?
Yes.
Remember, you don't have to answer any questions that make you uncomfortable. So let's start. We're going to start with urban life. So tell me, how do you get around in the city?
Public transportation.
What kind of public transportation?
Train, bus.
And which one do you prefer?
Train.
Can you tell me about your experience with the transportation system in New York City?
In general, the transportation, I guess it's okay. It's not the best, but it gets you around pretty quickly. It is usually reliable, and it's just, it's nothing special. It's nothing big, but it is, like I said, reliable at the very least.
With everything going on in the trains and everything, do you feel safe in New York City's public transportation system?
I guess I feel less safe than a few years ago, especially with all the incidents that are currently happening in our public transportation. It needs to be a little safer. It's not like it used to be.
What do you think needs to be put to make things safer, like more cops or?
So, more law enforcement needs to be implemented into the transits, not only in trains, but also the buses. There also needs to be more modern surveillance, because at the end of the day, I do believe that the cameras that we currently have in the transportation systems are not the best quality. Usually they're blurry, or in some cases, they're not working.
So I'm curious, do you have any wild stories from being on the public transportation system? Or you could tell me about the rats.
So in general, no, there's nothing really that crazy that goes on, but there are instances where you do have the homeless come in. They do, like, not a show, but, you know, they're not quiet.
Yeah.
They're preaching. You kind of get what I'm coming from. But it's, aside from that, yeah, like you mentioned, rats, you know, they're in the trains. They're in the tracks. And, I mean, they're just a safety hazard for commuters.
Wait, you seen them inside the train?
Yep.
I will start screaming and running.
Look, I saw the rat on the other side of the train. I was not going near it. It eventually left the train, and that was that. But that's New York. I'm used to it at the very least. It's, like I said, nothing crazy.
We've seen crazier, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's people, like I said, not necessarily only homeless. I mean, everybody comes in, they start arguments, they're loud. I've had instances where people are just smoking pot on the train.
Oh, yeah.
That's just annoying. I mean, that's inconsiderate as well. I have nothing against pot, but come on, man, do it in your own time. Don't put everybody, in that situation, especially if they're trying to get to work or school or whatever.
So I want to ask you, tell me about your community.
My community, in terms of?
Well, like, is your community safe?
I consider it safe, even though we just had an incident where there was, I believe, a shooting, but that was once in the 10 years I've been here. So I think it's fairly safe, even though with that one incident. But in as a whole, as like New York City as a whole, like I said before, with the trains, it's getting bad. Crime is rising. There's more violence just in general, and yeah, I mean, it's not like I used to be.
Like, is there any law enforcement fit into your vision of safety in New York City?
Say that again.
Like, how's like? Let me rephrase the question. Like, is there any like law enforcement protecting like your side? Like, you see them around a lot or not?
Well, yeah, I mean, the cops just patrol the area. I mean, that's what that's their job. I see them more frequent, I could say that, than previous years. They did add more speed cameras, which is a huge plus, because we did have an issue with drag racing. That's probably not the correct term, but they were basically racing along these streets, because at night these streets are very lonely and have little to no cars. So they did add cameras to stop these people from racing, and I think that's one of the biggest changes that has happened to the community.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the diversity in your neighborhood. Would you consider your neighborhood to be racially segregated?
No.
No,
there is a bunch of Hispanics, African Americans, some Middle Easterners in the area. So I would not say that this area is segregated at all. We're not in like a gated community where we gatekeep, you know, certain minorities. That's not a thing. That's no. We're fairly diverse. Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry. Okay, so like, have you experienced
segregation, like school? No, yeah, just no. I haven't experienced any type of segregation.
So you go to John Jay.
Mm-hmm.
In your school system, are there any ethnic groups missing?
Say that again. Are there any
ethnic groups missing?
No, John Jay is a fairly well diverse college.
Okay, that's pretty cool. They keep bugging me to go to their school, but I said no. So we're gonna move this along to the Black Lives Matter protest.
Okay.
Do you keep up with it? Like, do you know how it started?
Well, I do know it started because of George Floyd. Yeah. And I guess I would consider it the killing of George Floyd. That's obviously how it started. And it just took off from there. Protests about police brutality were all over the country. And what made it even worse is that we had a lot of instances during these protests where cops were essentially, they were being brutal. They were overextending their power.
Abusing their power.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it didn't help the situation where we had a bunch of instances where cops were, like you said, abusing the power. It was kind of like hypocritical, you can say.
Yeah. How do you feel about the protests with everything you saw?
How do I feel?
Do you have any disagreements with what you saw? Like we saw there was a lot of destroying of the stores.
I mean, protests in general, I have nothing against protesting as long as you're not disturbing or being a public nuisance. And I think that's very subjective. So I guess as long as you're peacefully protesting, I have no issue with any type of protest. But in terms of the rioters themselves, that's just illegal. They should be going to courts if they have been caught. Rioting in any way is not civil. You're not helping anything, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But yes, in terms of the peaceful protesters, that's perfectly fine. I have no issue. They're just doing their civic duty, which is protesting.
So you're a Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna keep this along. I don't know why I'm laughing so much today. Do you have any stories? Like, have you know how like, you know, we're both Latinos. You know how people they have like, for example, having problems with. How do I say this? You know when someone's speaking Spanish and then there's always gotta be someone having a problem? You know what I'm trying to say? There's been news reports all over, like if someone's speaking Spanish, they automatically get called out by another person.
They get
singled out, they get pointed out for speaking Spanish.
So like, okay, yes. And what was the question?
Like, have you experienced that in any way? Like, any kind of racism in New York?
So I have not experienced it. And if I have, I mean, I'm very dense on it. Like, it takes me a minute. I mean, I don't know. It's really hard to explain. Because I want to say yes, but at the same time, I usually ignore it or I don't care about the subtle gestures of them probably being racist. But have I seen other people being like probably stereotyped?
Yeah.
Or like you were talking about Spanish, like being called out for speaking a language. Yes, of course. And I mean, it's just not right. I mean, people can talk however they want in their native tongue. And I mean, that's just the right, you know? I think it's just not good or fair to critique someone for not being able to speak the main language in a country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to ask, do you think the media plays a role in this on how we're viewed? Like, race in general as well?
Ask the question again, please.
Like, do you think the media plays a role of how they're showing race and racism and all of that?
Well, yeah, of course they. Of course, the media does play a role in like these systemic, stories. And I think the biggest issue with like. One of the biggest issues with this is that they only choose the juiciest story. So you're not always going to hear about an individual just being targeted by 3-4 people. It's usually white on black or possibly white with Hispanic. It's usually, I think, with white individuals. And I think the media is not helping it, especially when we have like really big racial stories like George Floyd. That was a very big one, and it was coverage day in and day out for several months.
Yeah.
I think the wrong issues. And of course, there's a lot of misinformation when it comes to the media and these stories. Sometimes they harp on it too much. And personally, I don't like that. Of course, they have the right to do it. I mean, but I just don't think it's something they should harp on for more than a few days.
Yeah. Going back to the George Floyd, with everything you've seen in the protests and everything, has your opinion of the New York Police Department changed over time?
I think my opinion on the New York, the NYPD has changed because of multiple reasons. I mean, at like a young age, you know, you would think these people would, or these, the cops are there to protect and serve. And yeah, to an extent, of course they are. I mean, whenever you call 911, who are the first people to show up? The cops, you know, and so on and so forth. But I guess there's just bad apples, you know, in every field. And it's even worse when it comes to any PD, any police department, because the media will harp on those bad apples and will make it look like the police department or whatever field is out there being covered is the issue, when in reality, it's just that one person. It's not the department. It's not a county or a state's fault, usually though. And yeah, I mean. Yeah.
Okay, do you, I have like a thought that I remember someone saying that like all cops are bad because they follow the same system and no one there is like going to change it. What do you think about that?
So the notion that all cops are bad, that's just false. Of course, not all cops are bad. There, like I said, there are bad apples that make the whole department look bad. But are all cops bad? No. No, they're not. And in terms of these regimens, like the training, the training needs to be updated. We need to train new cops and how to de-escalate situations. And yes, in some cases, there is no de-escalation, and we do have extreme instances like shootouts where one side is unfortunately killed. But
yeah,
in those rare instances, I kind of get the reasoning behind them. I mean, look, man, cops are just people. They're just doing their job. They want to go home, and whatever gets them home is what they're going to take. I mean, yeah. It's, you know, but if there's an instance where, let's look at George Floyd, that was an instance where an individual was not putting up any resistance and was killed.
Yeah.
The fault right there lies with the cops. That is a lot of power that these cops have. I lost my train of thought, but I mean, yeah. In those instances, like George Floyd, it was very different. Cops did not need to overextend their power, and they had them. And yeah,
you just actually answered the next question I had. So, like about the changes that should be made in the New York Department,
mm-hmm.
in the New York Police Department. Sorry. So. My final question about the Black Lives Matter protests, were you active in any of them?
No, I was not active. Keep in mind, this was around the time of COVID. So
yeah.
I have a grandmother. I'm not going to try and risk her life for this protest or any protest. I mean, I don't want my grandmother to get sick, especially during a pandemic. It could be the death of her, and I don't want that. So in this particular protest, no, I did not join. But if the circumstances were where we weren't in a pandemic, yes, I most likely would have joined the peaceful protests.
But did you follow it on
social media? Yes, yes. I at the time was especially early on in the protest, I was on top of it, but then after a while, it was just repetitive, and that's where repetitive news coverage played a role and essentially dulled my interest in the protest.
Okay. So we're gonna since you're talking about COVID-19, we're gonna move it to the very last topic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so COVID-19 has changed lives for many of us. Tell me, weren't you? You were working during COVID-19, right?
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, I was working before COVID-19. Before COVID-19 was around. I was working from September 2019 to March 2020. And after that, I got laid off because obviously the pandemic was around and they needed less workers as well. So that probably also played a role. But I think that one of the reasons was also because of COVID-19.
Yeah. How it changed your work ways? How did COVID-19 affect you personally?
Personally, I mean, for New York, I mean, all of New York was shut down by what I think the summer. That's summer 2020. So for me, I'm a hermit. So I usually stay inside when I don't need to go out. So for me, it really didn't change much. It just limited where I could go because I didn't want to get sick.
Has the COVID-19 impacted your health and the health of your family?
I could say so. Yeah. We contracted COVID-19 ourselves in, I believe, December. No, January of 2021. So yeah, I mean, we got the virus. It was a pain in the ass, I guess you can say, for a month.
So while the entire world shut down, did you take any hobbies?
Hobbies? I more like drop a hobby, which is just drawing, but in terms of other hobbies I have, I guess I just stuck with them, if not increased my passion for the hobbies, for a couple hobbies.
Can you tell me which?
Gaming is one of them. Mm-hmm. Fish keeping is the second one.
Yes.
And fish keeping was the one that actually increased for me.
Oh, you have a lot of fish.
Yes.
Okay. How has your relationship changed with your friends, your neighbors, or your family?
In terms of family, nothing's really changed. If anything, we've grown closer. But in terms of friends, well, of course, there's COVID-19. So anything outside was off the table.
Yeah.
So I guess that did limit the obvious interaction with friends that are not, I guess, in my household, which is no friends are in my household. But yeah, I mean, I guess family, it strengthened. And for some friends, it distanced.
But not for me, though, right?
No, not you.
So let's get to the juicy questions.
Okay.
I have them written down, but then I lost them. Okay. What are your thoughts on the vaccine mandate, the vaccines itself, the mask mandates, all that good stuff?
Okay. I guess I'll tackle the vaccine itself first.
Okay.
And then we'll go on to the mandates. So in terms of the vaccine, when it was first like rolled out, where reports were saying the vaccine is ready for elderly and all that good stuff, I was one of the people who were skeptical on it, because here's a vaccine that only took months to be produced.
Yeah.
And most vaccines and or medicine in general in the United States takes 5, sometimes 10 years to actually be approved by the CDC and the FDA. So when the vaccine for COVID rolled out, I was highly skeptical. I said, there's no way this thing is actually safe. Fast forward a few months, data starts rolling in. I start looking at several like graphs where these vaccines are actually helping. If you saw a graph between non-vaccinated and vaccinated individuals who had contracted COVID-19, the data said that the individual with the vaccine was not hospitalized, whereas the individual who had no, vaccinations, was taken to the hospital and stood there for a number of days. So I guess that made me want to actually get it, because here's hard proof where the vaccines actually work and we can see that they're working. And the vaccine for COVID itself is something that actually helps, you know?
Yeah. And what you think about the mask mandate?
So the mask mandate, as of right now, it's more like do whatever you want.
Yeah.
We've been dealing with this for 2 years. You know, you already know the risks that COVID can pose to an individual. So for me, I would wear the mask. I never had an issue wearing the mask, but I do see other people having issues with it, which is to me ridiculous.
And selfish.
And yeah, I would say selfish, yeah. Now, in terms of the vaccine mandate, I think that's a little too much.
Yeah.
To an extent where you can lose your job. I think that goes a little too much. I think you should always give the people the option of either vaccine, fully vaccine,
yeah,
or test weekly. Yeah. But we had several jobs like the NYPD, the FDNY. We had people from those jobs actually lose their job because they didn't want to take the vaccines and there was no other option. So we had people lose their jobs because they refused to take the vaccines, or they couldn't because they were immunocompromised.
Yeah.
So I think that's a little too much. That's a little too that's just a little too much. I think you should always give people the option whether to get vaccinated or test.
Okay.
Yeah.
So to wrap this up, is there anything I should have asked or anything you'd like to add?
No, currently not that I can think of, no.
Okay. Are you still comfortable making this oral history public?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing this interview with me, my best friend. You told me a joke earlier that I remembered, and I started laughing in the interview. I can't cut it out now, so I really can't. But thank you for your time, and thank you for doing this interview.
Yeah, no problem.
Nope. See you later.
Yep.